the first pillar for me is art of desire. Everything else stacks on that. It goes in order. This is number one, right? And we talked about you got to dream big, you got to extend your why, turn those into goals. Goals are the measurement and the timeline of your dreams, right? Take those into 10 years, take those into 3 years, take those into 1 year. And then, you know, however, take them into 90 days, whatever it may be. A goal is what you want, right? That's what you want. And then we add habits to it. Habit is your daily activity model. You got to have the right habits and the right amount of the right habits. Right habits and the right amount of the right habits. What does that mean? Well, the right habit might be prospect. But if it's only prospect one person, that might not be the right amount. So you have to line the right habit up with the goals and the right amount of the right habit up with the goals. You should have habits for personal. You should have habits for business. Everyone's habits cannot be the same. My habits can't be your habits, especially in business if our outcomes are drastically different, right? We would not have the same habits. Also, habits are the kind of the unsung hero. There's only a half a dozen books on it, maybe, that are worth the shit to talk about. Power of Habits by Charles Duhigg is my favorite. Mark just actually referenced Making Your Bed. That's called an anchor habit, right? It's triggering all the other things. He just talked about 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, probably the most famous book on habits. After that, it steeply falls off. There's a new one out. I haven't read it yet, but it's called Atomic Habits. So, could be good, maybe not, I don't know, but I've heard a lot of people talking about it. From there, your goals are what you want. Your habits are what you must do on a daily basis. And then we added your values. Values is a straight extraction from Tony Robbins for me. There's 3 different other people's stuff mixed into that. That's just a straight extraction from values. Oh, by the way, habits, score them. Score them. If you can't do it consistently, then do it once a year. If you can do it once a quarter, do it once a quarter. If you can do it once a month, do it once a month. I want to get back to once a week. I did it I ended up doing it for January. And I had a 6.8 average daily habits across all 10 of my habits. But when you score it monthly, it's a little bit harder. I don't know how accurate it is, right? I want to get to weekly. Growth was the highest one. I mean, almost every day, watching something, listening something, getting better from a growth perspective. So that was actually the highest one, just from a disclosure perspective. Back to values. Values are who you're being, right? Top 5 characteristics of or values of who you must be this year, in order to achieve your goals while taking the actions daily, those habits daily, right? So it all works together as one formula. You should have gone through the process now starting to create some of your own goals, habits, and values and seeing the synergy between those, right? So for example, I have a goal of getting into the 11s in body fat percentage. I have a daily habit of eating right and exercising. And I have a value of I am vital and strong. They're all 3 right in alignment with each other, right? So when you begin to look at your goals, your habits, and values, they shouldn't look like this. They're not horizontal. They should be vertical. They should be layers to a cake, right? We talked about visualization. Clearly, the most uncomfortable part of all of this, right? Clearly, the part that everyone shies away from, or it's just hard to do until you do it enough times and you get repetition at it. Then it just becomes like anything else you do, right? It's like, bro, visualization should be as repetitive to you as blank, whatever that might be for you. Add emotion, add music. Emotion's next, but add emotion, add music. There's different ways you can do it. Find a steady spot that that's your spot. Visualize your dreams, visualize your goals very specifically. Control the dialogue. We also I had a couple conversations this week where a couple of you guys said the same thing, which is, hey, I'm having hard controlling my visualization. I said, well, is it that you're starting to visualize and then you're like, oh, wait, what am I supposed to be making the kids for dinner? Or are you starting to visualize and associating topics are popping in your brain? And then I had one person say one and one person say the other. But it was actually Jessen I talked to yesterday. She's like, for example, you know, I'm trying to visualize about taking my mom to Germany. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I got to get a tour guide. I'm like, perfect. It's working. That's not wrong. It's telling you the answers, right? It's like you are thinking about what you want to do as if it's already done. And your brain is kicking back strategies. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. So pay attention to that, because those are actually answers. Or if like you're visualizing and all of a sudden a person pops in your mind, that to me, you should not take that lightly. You shouldn't take that lightly. Emotion. Emotion when combined with visualization has a multiplying effect and impact. But also just controlling your state of emotion and understand what your triggers are and how to get back on track at any moment. What movement, what breath, what song? Is it a big issue? Great. Do you need to take a walk? Do you need to take a shower? Do you need to, is it a major crisis? Do you need to take a day? Right? What are the things? Right? But you can't have a bad year. Bad years because you can't control your emotion, you don't know your triggers, right? I'm an extremely emotional person, but I have the ability to have bad moments as opposed to bad hours or bad days or whatever. It's about self-awareness to get yourself back on track and get your state of emotion so that it's helping you and not hurting you. And it's different for all of us, so I can't give you one solid answer. But I can tell you, anything you've ever done in your life in the past, there's things you did physically, there's things you said to yourself, there's things that you, there's breath work that you did, whether you know it or not, you just got to analyze yourself. Before a game, or before a serve, or before a play, or before a fill in the blank. So this set of things equals, you know, your life. And I said that the go-to for the kind of the tip of all the information is Law of Success by Napoleon Hill. Narrowed down is Think and Grow Rich. If you've read Think and Grow Rich recently, take on Law of Success. Good luck. It's a heavy one. If you haven't read Think and Grow Rich recently, pop it in. Give it a go. You're gonna see that it all boils down to a formula, which is goals, strategies, action. Don't quit. Change strategy, take more action. Don't quit. And it might not even be change strategy. It might just be you didn't take enough action yet. Don't quit, take more action. Don't quit, take more action. Don't quit, shift strategy, take more action. And it's not give up on the dream. It's not reduce the Z. It's not forget about what you want. It's not throw away, you know, your life path because it's not working, quote unquote. You're not winning yet, quote unquote. You're not getting the results. So the last part, you know, of the formula is don't fucking quit. That's the last part of the formula. Right? Before we can go on to the next section, it's like, you can't quit. Just because it's not working, just because you're visualizing and you're not rich yet, or you got your dream slideshow and it's playing, but you don't have your dreams achieved yet, or you got your goal cards, but you're not accomplishing your goals yet, or, right? You can't quit. Winners are not those who fail. They're just those who never quit. Thomas Edison, when you've exhausted all possibilities, remember this, you have not. Just because you think you have not. Here's a little poem from Think and Grow Rich. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And when he learned too late, when the night slipped down, how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. What a great line. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. Three Feet from Gold is probably the most known story of Think and Grow Rich. The person that gave up everything to go be a dig for gold, and they spent, I don't remember off the top of my head, months or years or whatever, and they gave up. Someone else came in, took over their mine. The person who quit was 3 feet from that at the time, one of the largest gold mines ever discovered. Right, so when you hear different speakers, different people reference, it's aging out now, it's almost 100 years old. That book is almost 100 years old. When you hear somebody talk about 3 feet from gold, that's what they're referencing, right? It's like, you're fucking 3 feet away from almost the largest, one of the largest gold mines of all time, or veins of gold of all time. So here's some failures for y'all. I just thought I'd quote some failures. How about James? Actually, I'll tell the story. 5,126 failed prototypes over 15 years. 5,126 failed prototypes, over 15 years, which is now a net worth of $4.5 billion. Best-selling bagless vacuum cleaner, Sir James Dyson. Anybody own a Dyson vacuum? I got one.
They're great.
5,100 failed prototypes. Guys, 5,100 failures is a fucking lot, right? Like, that's over 15 years. And that's not like a tinkering. That's a full prototype. That means he changed the prototype 5,000 times over 15 years. No way. All right, how about this guy? Fired by his newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Was also turned down 302 times to finally get financing for his dream. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Fired for lacking imagination and having no good ideas. Who was, say it? Disney.
Oh.
Disney. Can you tilt it up? They got a good crotch shot, but that's about it. Hey, there you go. Mark's like, I just keep seeing Mark go like this in the screen. Okay, how about this person? Age 22 was fired from her job for being unfit for TV. Was then terminated as a co-anchor of a weekday news show, trying not to give it away, for having extremely low ratings. Then went on to be the richest female in the world. Oprah. Oh, by the way, was raised by a 16-year-old mother, was raped as a 12-year-old, abused, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, how about this person? Got rejected from film school 3 times. Eventually, the one that he wanted, eventually went to a much lower one, a film school, which he dropped out of. 25 years later, he went back just to finally complete and earn his bachelor's, but was rejected from film school 3 times. Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg. Could you imagine you're like Steven fucking Spielberg and the film school's like, nah, you're not good enough, kid. You're not good enough, kid. You're not good enough, kid. Was fired from his first 2 jobs for being non-productive. Made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the blank. This is misquoted a lot of times at 10,000, but it's only 1,000 times he successfully failed at making a major invention. And was fired from his first 2 jobs. Any idea? Anyone have any light bulbs going off? Thomas Edison. This gentleman was selling food during the Great Depression outside of his gas station because nobody could afford gas anymore. He didn't have any licenses to open a restaurant or any money, so he sold a certain type of food on the street corner to people that were walking by and driving by. Eventually, got rejected 1,009 times for his famous recipe. Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders rejected 1,009 times for his famous recipe, trying to turn it into a franchise. In his 50s. In his 50s. Maybe 60s.
KFC.
Exactly. I don't want to hear anything about while Spielberg was a high school kid and Oprah got rejected in her 20s. He got rejected 1,009 times before somebody took on the famous recipe in his 50s or 60s. Thomas Edison was in his 60s. Oh, here's one. This guy is an epic failure. You ready for this epic failure? I'll end with him in a second. This woman battled depression, got a divorce, was on welfare, couldn't feed her child, couldn't afford to make copies of her famous first book, so would type individual copies of it herself. J.K. Rowling, which is also the author of all of the Harry Potter books. Billionaire. Billionaire. Welfare to billionaire. How many times would you retype a 500-page book? Approximately, because you can't afford photocopies.
Twice.
Okay, how about this guy? Lost his job in 32. I was going to use 32. Defeated for state legislature same year. Law company went out of business the next year. Girlfriend or wife died the following year. Had a nervous breakdown the following year. Defeated for speaker 2 years later. Defeated for nomination for Congress 5 years later. Finally elected to Congress. Lost renomination 2 years later. Rejected as the land officer 1 year later. Defeated for Senate 5 years later. Defeated for vice president 2 years later. Defeated for U.S. Senate 2 years later. Elected president 2 years later. Abraham Lincoln, greatest failure maybe ever.
Wow.
And I use that word greatest, and also he was a failure, but became one of the greatest producers or influencers on our planet ever, and definitely at that time. Imagine if our country said state split. What happens to the world if our country stays split? Process that, right? So it's like, think about all of the failure, and we could do this literally all day. You guys have stories, you guys know people, you guys have your own stories. I've got my own stories, right? It's like, I've got thousands of failures. So my question to you is, are you gonna reduce your Z? Are you going to lower your goals? Are you going to let it, are you going to let it lower your emotion? Are you going to let it falter your focus? Are you going to let it slow down your drive for it because it's not working? Because you're not winning? Because you're not winning as fast as you wanted to? Because you're not winning as big as you wanted to? Right? This might not apply to any of you right now in this moment, but it might apply to you a year from now. It might apply to you 2 years from now. And the formula of Art of Desire is, yeah, you gotta have big dreams and goals. You gotta have habits that you execute every day that match. And you better be the right person with your values. And you better see it happen every single day with emotion, and understand how to get your ass back on track. And you better not quit. Because if you think that formula is gonna lead to immediate and never-ending success, you're wrong. But it will lead to success. Because there is no formula for immediate and never-ending success without conflict, without friction. So in my mind, I can tell you that that's a formula for me for never-ending success, but not without conflict and friction and battles and failures and pain, lots of it. The greater the dream, the greater the goal, the more sacrifice, the more pain, the more failure. They go hand in hand. In closing. Oh, sorry. Why do people quit? I went into my close, I missed the slide. What is it that triggers people to quit? Is it you're too cool? Right? It's like, okay, I don't want to chase that one because the Joneses, man, like the Joneses. I don't want this is about as far as I can push before my family is really going to disown me. This is about as far as I can push before I'm going to have to change my friends group. This is about as far as I can dream before, you know, this person is going to mock me like crazy. Or is it frog soup? Yeah, do you guys know the story of frog soup? I don't know if it's true or not. I'm gonna validate this. I think I did look it up to make sure at one point. To my understanding, if you have boiling hot water and you throw a frog in it, it will jump right out of the hot water. But if you put it in a lukewarm pot of water and slowly turn up the heat, it will stay there until it croaks. Oh, no, until, I just changed that part. It will stay there until it dies, right? Until it cooks to death. Point is, our environment is that water, right? And if it's slowly, if mediocrity is slowly just being turned up around us, before we know it, it's the mediocre environment has lowered our dreams. The mediocre environment has lowered our goals. The mediocre environment has changed our actions, right? So maybe that's why you quit. You just didn't even knew that you quit. You thought you hadn't quit yet, but you had already quit. It's because you're afraid of missing out. Some people quit because they have so much FOMO, right? Am I gonna miss out on this? Am I gonna miss out on that? Are you afraid of realizing your potential? You're afraid of what your power really is. You're afraid that you can't do it again. You've done it once, you can't do it again. Why? Go back to the full recap I just gave you. Walked you through those steps. The formula is full of failure. The formula of the art of desire, it's going to come up against never-ending failure and resistance. But please, 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 don't ever forget this. Do you remember the guy or the girl who gave up? Neither does anybody else. So, go make your mark. Go make a difference. Inspire, create a ripple. I am aware that what we're doing is a piece of your story, right? I'm here to help you dial in what your dream is, improve certain little pieces or parts of you and your capacity or mindset that you need in order to go do that. And us working together for the time frame that we do, we're gonna have a bunch of fun, we're gonna make a bunch of money, we're gonna make a difference, we're gonna make an impact through philanthropy, and it's gonna be something you'll look back on and go on, what an amazing 3 years, or what a kick-ass 2 years, or whatever your time frame is. And I hope that I get a message from you 10 years from now or 12 years from now, if you'd gone on a different path, and it's just like, hey, I'll never forget those 26 months or those 28 months were the most impactful on my journey. that's what Catalyst, when you think of what the Catalyst Group is created for, it is for that. So don't be the person that nobody else remembers. Deal? Deal. All right, let's go kick ass.